As you're standing, we'd ask you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. The book of Revelation, chapter 11, we're going to continue where we left off last week. This morning, the title is His Coming Kingdom. In Revelation, chapter 11, verse 12 is where we're going to look at. It says in verse 12 of a Revelation 11, and it says, "And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid, and gave God glory to the glory of God in heaven." Verse 14, "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces, and they worshiped God. And they said, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and you reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come in the time of the dead, and that they shall be judged, and that they should reward your servants, the prophets and of the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth.' Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunders, and an earthquake and great hail." So, Father in heaven, we do thank you for bringing us to this point of Scripture today. Thank you for our time of worship this morning, and thank you for the preparedness of our hearts. I believe that there's things, Lord, that I know I've been learning through this study, and I pray that our hearts could be open, your Spirit could teach us as we need to be taught by you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This passage takes us forward in time to the very edge of eternity. We are transported ahead to the end of the age, to a time when Jesus has taken possession of the world and judged sin and sinners. And as we look ahead to what that blessed day will be, we find heaven in a state of rejoicing. So what's taking place in chapter 11? We're halfway through the book of Revelation. So congratulations for being a part of our study in Revelation. It's about the 21st study. We're halfway through. It's really about the midway point of the tribulation period at this time. As we saw in chapter 1, God said, "Here's Jesus Christ, glorified Christ." Chapters 2 and 3, we see what the church is doing. We are living right now, brothers and sisters, in all of history of mankind, we're living in the church age. The church age began on the day of Pentecost, and it has a completion date. The church has an expiration date. That expiration date is called the rapture of the church. The church will be caught up to be with Jesus in the clouds. He's coming for his church, and then he'll be coming with his church in chapter 19. So when we saw in chapter 4, they're in heaven. In chapter 5, there's a scroll. Chapters 6 through 19 deal with what is known. The world understands this. Unbelieving people know about a great tribulation. Unbelieving people know of Armageddon and other terms like that. And so chapters 6 through 19 speaks about three different judgments. There's the seal judgment, the trumpet judgment, and the bowl judgment. We've already looked at the seal judgment, and we've looked at the trumpet judgments. We're looking at the last one today. But in the midst of this, God says, there's a pause, there's a parenthesis. He says, there's some other things I want you to know what's happening in the book of Revelation and what's happening. And so we see that what is taking place in heaven is all the believers. Now, you and I, as a believer, if we're a follower of Christ, I believe that we'll be up in heaven when this is taking place here in heaven. They are praising God. They're giving thanks for God to God. Now, when we started out our text this morning from where we left off, last week we talked about these two witnesses in chapter 11 that come down from heaven. They witness for the Lord for 3.5 years. They're killed by the Antichrist. They're dead for 3.5 days. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing they're thankful that they killed these two prophets, but these prophets come to life and they're risen from the dead and they're taken. It says, come up here. They're taken back to heaven. And great fear came upon people. There was earthquake. 7,000 people died. They were afraid. And they said, that's the second woe. It's past. Now the third woe is coming, is what we're looking at. And this is the seventh trumpet judgment, which is going to introduce the bowl judgments to come in a further future message. Now, Jesus Christ is coming back. There's many people that have claimed to become world leaders. We have people all around wanting that position. The question is, when is the right person going to show up to straighten everything out? We have people. Doesn't matter if you're in Russia, maybe you want to be a world leader. Maybe you want to be a world leader. You're in China. Maybe you're in North Korea. Maybe you're in the United States. Who knows where you're at? But there's many people vying for this position. There's a one world government. That's where things are moving to. It's called globalism. We know of that. It's quite clear, but that's the way things are moving, moving very fast. There's going to be a one world leader called the Antichrist. He's going to have a false prophet with him, one world religion. So we're moving quickly in that direction. And as we're moving in that direction, sometimes we can be overwhelmed with the reality of a Christian living at this time, what's going on. Consider it to be a privilege that God's called us to be these last day disciples to represent him. As much as we appreciate the church being born, the book of Acts, the epistles, and being able to see what the believers have done throughout the last 2,000 years, we're thankful for them. But you are just as significant to the Lord right now, being called out from the world to represent him in these days. The question is then, how will you know when the right king comes? Let me just make it really clear. When the right king comes, there's no more wars, no elections, no nuclear threats, no missiles, no weapons, no terrorisms, no divorce, no abortions, no promotion of immorality. There'll be no police, no revolutions, no bribes, no kidnapping, no custody battles, no orphanages, no foster care, no rest homes, no hospitals, no mental health institutions, no psychologists, no dentists, no doctors, no prisons, no crack houses, no bars, no casinos, no discrimination, no environmentalists, no earthquakes, no hurricanes, no unemployment, no hunger, no famine, no secular schools, no astrologers, and no pastors. We have one pastor. It'll be Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm just an assisting pastor. The pastor of this ministry is Jesus Christ. He's the chief shepherd. Keep our eyes on him. He'll never let us down. So when we're seeing that introduction and getting to realize, well, what is really taking place? What is taking place in this account, this short few verses, is one of the greatest events in human history. God created everything. When he created everything, it was good. He made it good. He made it perfect. He created man and women. Man and women were created by God. We didn't evolve from some monkeys or some water things or whatever else. We're created by God. Evolution is false teaching. You know, the theory of evolution is a false theory in its very premise. God created everything. You want to know why we have problems in schools and other things? Because this foundational truth is taken away. When you believe that God created everything, that puts truth in the right perspective. So God made it all, but man was tempted by Satan and was responsible. They persuaded by evil to sin against God. The persuasion was you can become a god in this world, but there is the devil, Satan the devil. He's called the prince and the power of the air. He's the accuser of the brethren, father of all lies. There is a huge number, percentage-wise, of so-called born-again believers that do not believe in a literal devil. Well, I would just say that the literal devil deceived you in not believing that there's a literal devil. That's a great deception by the evil one, because it tells us in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The word of God tells us. No, it's very much true. Presently in this world, there are nations and kingdoms, political powers and tyrants and rulers and dictators, presidents and prime ministers, their military forces, there's terrorists. There's many people seeking to be that influence in the world. But there is coming a day. The truth of Satan's rule can be seen in the hatred that is being leveled against Jesus Christ and his gospel in this world. People really have no reason to hate Jesus. They do so because they are led by the devil. He's the ruler of the world today. And we can be thankful because this ruler, this kingdom of his, is short-lived. Jesus Christ will come in glory and power to assume his right place as King and Lord and God of this world. There's just one rightful King, and one day the whole world will bow at his feet and worship him. It's going to happen, my friends. He is coming, and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. It doesn't matter, because people say, well, that's great for you. That's your truth. Have fun with your truth. My truth is different truth. Oh, really? So would it be true if it's a different truth? If Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there's no other way to heaven but by me. So if that's my truth and that's God's truth, then you can have an opposing truth to that, and that could still be true. That's called a lie. That's called deception. You see, back in the scriptures, in the book of Daniel, there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I am that world ruler. I am ruling the world, the empire. But there was a vision. There was a statue. And on it, there was a head of gold. It represented the Babylonian kingdom. There was chest and arms of silver. It represented the Mede and Persians. There were legs of iron representing ancient Rome, and the feet of iron and clay, which would be the restored Roman kingdom still to come. Now, in this vision, what happened was there was a rock that came out of heaven in this vision. So Nebuchadnezzar is ruling the world. He has this vision. He's top dog. And he asked Daniel, interpret the vision. He said, this crushing rock, it crushes the statue. It grew into a mountain. It covered the earth. And in the future, all the kingdoms of the world would be crushed, and to seek and to exist only the Lord's kingdom, which would last forever. That's what's going to happen. All these little kingdom builders that are going on right now, all these little technical gurus or other people that they think this is their kingdom, this is their world. There's a number of people that think that they rule the world right now because they can rule a certain aspect of the economy or food supply or ideology, and they parade themselves around as though they're this emperor of the world. And it works from the White House. It works to state governments as well. They don't want to relinquish any executive order and power because they realize through COVID how critical that was. They were able to take their position without any other legislative communication and say, "We're just what we're going to do. We're going to do it because I am the governor, I am the president, I am the leader, and I'm going to take executive order and executive action, and you can't do anything about it." And they keep that in because they're going to play that a card again. They're going to play it with the environment. They're going to play it with other things as well because they're little kingdom builders. And God is just saying, well, you have fun with your little kingdom building, but there's coming a time where you're, boom, it's done, it's over. The King of Kings is coming. And that's why it doesn't settle well with any Bible-believing Christian. When you see what's going on, you just think, what's taking place? What's happening? Who's lying to me? Because the Word of God is telling me something different, and it doesn't square within my heart as a believer of Jesus Christ. Daniel would say in Daniel 2:4-4, chapter 2, verse 44, In these days, the kings of God of heaven, the King of God of heaven will set up his kingdom, which will never be destroyed. There's a coming kingdom, and Jesus is going to reign and rule in it. It's not going to be destroyed. He says in Daniel chapter 7, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and he brought him near and before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one on which he shall not be destroyed. Even before Christ was born, 700 years before he was born, the prophet Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. The government has not been upon the shoulders of Christ, but that day is coming. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." When we're getting into the heart of the text today, in verse 14, it says, "And the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly." So this has to do with the trumpet judgments. There were four judgments that took place. Then they said there's three woes coming. Two of them have passed. Here is the third woe that is taking place. The seventh angel, verse 15, sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." You have, and I have, prayed a prayer. And the prayer comes out of the Gospels, comes out of Matthew's Gospel, comes out of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think of all the people that have prayed that, from the disciples to you, to I, and to others. And so in heaven here, in chapter 11, they're saying something's happening. That kingdom, Christ, is going to be coming to the earth. He's going to set up his kingdom. They're aware of that. You and I are aware of that. Even in the midst of heaven, even in the midst of the glory of God, before the throne of grace, there's an awareness of what's going to be taking place down here on earth. There's a preparedness. There's an awareness that this is going to take place. That kingdom is going to come. Our king is going to come. That prayer that we prayed, he's coming to establish the kingdom. It's real. The promises are going to be fulfilled. There's an excitement in heaven. This is a great event ready to take place. He's going to come, and the kingdom is going to be set up by him at this time. When he was on earth, during his ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist. He went into the wilderness, Jesus Christ did. And in the wilderness, it's recorded the temptations that Satan brought upon him. Three specific temptations are recorded. But it says, Satan speaking to Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms here of this earth. All you have to do is bow down and worship. Christ did not say, you don't know what you're talking about. Because in the garden, that privilege that was given to Adam and Eve, they forfeited it when they sinned and gave it to Satan. And he's telling Jesus, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Christ says, you know, the word of God says, because Christ is not going to take a shortcut. He's not going to miss out on the cross. He's coming to go to the cross, and that's what he's going to do. So in chapter 5, that title deed of Revelation, chapter 5, the title deed is there. Christ comes and takes that title deed to the earth, and he begins to open the seals. Instead, he died on the cross. He rose again. He's returning victorious to heaven, and he's going to come back to earth. The church is taken, the rapture, its church is caught up to be with Christ. There's two things, caught up to be with Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're in heaven, the church is in heaven, we're called the bride of Christ. We're in heaven for 7 years, it's the tribulation upon earth. The tribulation, chapter 6 through 19 of Revelation, is his wrath. It's the wrath of God against all ungodliness. So we're his bride. His bride, he's not going to beat up his bride during the tribulation period. His bride is with him in heaven during this period of time. Then in chapter 19, when we get to it, he's going to come with his church, going to have the victory of Armageddon. His feet are going to be on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to set up that kingdom that we're talking about here. Even Joel the prophet said in chapter 2, "For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, the day of darkness and gloominess, the day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains." People say, do you really, truly believe in a devil? I says, yes, absolutely. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus would say in John chapter 12, verse 31, "Now this is a judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." So he's speaking, Jesus himself is speaking about a literal devil. And there's a literal demonic realm that exists today. and you wonder what's going on and what is the key thing. Jesus would say in Matthew 24, the key sign of the end times, first thing he says, because they're asking disciples, what are the signs? And he says, first and foremost, don't be deceived. My friends, we're living at a time of blatant deception. When you have a Supreme Court nominee who says, I don't know what a woman is. It's like, what? But this is widespread. And the whole issue now of what a woman. I mean, obviously the answer is correct. I am a woman. That's why I'm here. The president wanted to have a woman in this position. I'm a woman. That's why I'm here. That's a good answer. That's a correct answer. But where there's all this craziness going on, what don't you know? You don't know if you're a boy or a girl? We had three daughters. We didn't know. We didn't have the test ahead of time to know. So I'm in the room each time. It's like, that's a girl. That's a girl. And that's a girl. We have three girls. It was pretty easy. It's pretty easy. And my wife says, don't worry, the boys will come later. So we have two wonderful son-in-laws and grandsons and everything. They did come. She was prophetic in that sense. It was great. But there's no confusion. And this world is just absolutely insane over crazy deception. And then if you want to tell the truth, like I'm telling right now, it's like, oh, he's a hateful guy. Well, listen, it's hateful not to tell the truth, to lead somebody down the road of deception. What's more hateful? To try to accommodate and to please and everybody, we're all feeling good today. Well, yeah, on your way to hell, okay? So we just bring the truth. We bring it in love and grace. We're here to care for people and proclaim the gospel. That's what's taking place. And so he's going to reign forever and ever. He's not like a human ruler. All human rulers eventually reach the end of their reign. They die or they're disposed of and replaced by another, not Jesus. He's going to reign eternally. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Look at verse 16 in our text of Revelation chapter 11, verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. I believe these 24 elders represent the church. The church in John chapter 4 is taken to heaven. And in chapter 4, the church is praising God as creator. In chapter 5, they're praising God. The church is as redeemer. In chapter 11, they're praising God as judge and king. These 24 elders appear seven times in Revelation. In similar context, the church is worshiping God, who have for centuries prayed that Jesus would encourage them to pray and would come back. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I would agree. The kingdom of darkness is advancing rather rapidly right now. There's only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Those are the two kingdoms that are in play. And these kingdoms are in constant conflict. And then I live in the kingdom of light, but my citizenship, I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of heaven and I'm a citizen of the United States. And that's both of those citizenships are in conflict of what's going on. And that's why we experience battles and different things that take place. We look to verse 17 and it says, and we give thanks. Here's their prayer. Here's their celebration. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. We sang that this morning because you've taken your great power and you reign. Let's look at this. In verse 17, it says, and we give you thanks. Thanksgiving and praise is essential. If you cannot thank God, then there's a problem. It's a deep problem. It's a rooted problem. You say, well, wait a minute. If you knew what I was going through right now, if you knew what I was facing, if you knew how hard it was, how difficult it was, if you knew what's happening to me, what's happening in my world, it's not time to give thanks right now. It tells us in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, be thankful to him, and bless his name. Yes, we all go through hard times, difficult times. Sometimes those difficulties can last your entire life. But in the midst of it, God, I thank you that I know you right now. And in the midst of these difficulties, I thank you that you are with me. I thank you that when others don't understand, you understand. I thank you, God, that you know me. You know what's really going on in my heart and my mind. I thank you that you don't condemn me or judge me like others might do. I thank you that your mercy is there for me. I thank you that you haven't left me desperate. I thank you that I still have hope that you'll see me through these things. It's important to give thanks. The downfall of Romans 1, where that downfall goes, it starts with they no longer gave thanks to God. That's a key piece right there. No longer gave thanks. I don't thank God for the wickedness that happens to me or to you or the terrible things that may happen. I'm not thanking him for that. I'm thanking him in it that I'm not alone and he's with me. It gives us to the second point in chapter 11, verse 17, O Lord God Almighty. He is almighty and he is all powerful. That's what almighty means. His power is on display for the world. Nothing is too hard for God. He has power to change our life and our situation each day. He is so powerful. He says, just look at my creation each day and know that I'm the one that made that. I made you. It also says in verse 17, the one who is, who was, who is to come. That defines him as the eternal God. He is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is not a created being. He is the creator. All false religions, and I say that with absolute confidence. A lot of times you're not supposed to say all because all can be too widespread. No, I say all. All false religions, all religious beliefs outside of Jesus Christ in the Bible, they're false religions, they're pagan religions. They're going to lead people to hell, into an eternity without Christ. And they're all originated through darkness in a demonic realm, through various leaders, men and women that God infiltrated in their mind, heart, and emotions to lead astray. You say, well, you don't, you know, you're being mean. You're being, you know, no, I'm not. I'm being absolutely honest. I'm talking about the religion. There are very wonderful, sincere people, loving people that are caught into these organizations, these false religions. But they're false religions, and they need to see the light of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. And we're living at a time where, again, just stating the truth is supposed to be offensive. Listen, God is an equal opportunity offender. Just read the Word of God. I mean, it offends my flesh all the time in myself because I'm to die to myself and to live for God. And I thank God. He's not looking in heaven. Heaven isn't made up of perfect people. Heaven is made up of people who have been perfectly forgiven. And there's only one perfect one, and that's Jesus Christ. And we get to heaven based on his perfection and not on our own. And that needs to rest in our hearts today, that we're not trying to champion and create a bunch of perfect people. We're surrounding ourselves in humility before the perfect one, Jesus, and to follow him. There is no other. It's the absolute truth. I've been around doing this for a while. We used to live in the U District in Seattle. We did ministry on the campuses of UW and a few other places, and I enjoyed conversations with various students. And I remember just the whole idea back then is that, oh, I don't believe in absolutes. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. You're absolutely sure? Yes. So you just set somebody up for foolishness. Yes, so you're absolutely sure that you absolutely don't believe in absolutes. Do you trick me with that? No, I'm just following your logic on that. And so I believe that everything is relative. I believe that you have your truth, I have my truth. And whatever is good for you is good for you. Whatever is good for me is good for me. It's all relative. Well, that's nice to know. So we're talking at a lunch table, and I grab his laptop computer, and I take off. He goes, hey, where are you going? What do you mean where I'm going? It's all relative, buddy. So I just feel like I need a computer, and there's one, and it's kind of relatively thinking. That's just what it is. You're not a relative of mine, but I'm using your relative truth, and so thank you for your computer. It's great. And he got really upset and got angry and stop. Why? I'm just following the logic you said you believed in. Well, no, you're stealing. Oh, and I say, now you're quoting the Bible. You didn't want them to have the Bible, but now you're saying, it says, do not steal in the Bible. Now you're quoting the Bible. Why is that wrong? Why am I stealing? You said you didn't believe in absolute truths. Well, that's an absolute truth. Thou shalt not steal. Just give me my computer back and get out of here. But I think, you know, it's fine. I mean, people can have whatever opinion. You're free to have whatever opinion you want. But you need to be held accountable to that opinion. I mean, come on. I mean, let's talk honestly. Let's be honest about it. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the first verse of the Bible. You know, God doesn't try to prove that he's eternal. He just states the fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He just states the fact. He's not trying to prove anything. Here's the fact. In Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are out without excuse. So you got people moving around with this whole climate religion that's taking place, and it's like you want to make this religion, you want people to bow down to the creation. I'm bowing down to the creator. But it's just real interesting that you're using, in other words, the scriptures say, you look at what's been made, and I acknowledge the creator. You don't acknowledge the creator. But who made this? The creator made this, and it's best that you bow down to the creator and not to the creation. If we go a little bit further here in our text when we're looking at this, it tells us in verse 18, and it says in verse 18, for the nations were angry and your wrath has come. There's two responses to what I'm saying, to what the Word of God is saying. One, it will make people very mad and very angry, and that's what it says. Or it will cause people to be humble and to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 86:10, you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. But in verse 18, it's talking about his righteous judgment. The kingdom of man is never wanting to surrender their rule. They want to keep living under the emergency declaration. They don't want to give that up. And I thought about that in a clever way. Perhaps. I think of it as they think they got Willy Wonka's golden ticket and they don't want to give it up. In other words, there's this one golden ticket and I got it. And when I have it, that means I've got everything. And this emergency declaration, I have it. And it's part of my rule for my kingdom. And I could dictate over other people's lives. Every human kingdom fails because it's built on limited power of men. And the nations want to cast God off. They say, we don't want God. And you can resist God. You can run from God. You can deny God. You can do what you want to do. You can do what you want to do. Evidently, people do that rather frequently these days. It's a shame because in our own community, every day they're stealing thousands of dollars from stores in our community walking out. We've seen them and many others have seen them just walking out. Under $1,000 is kind of the rule. I'm sure nobody's checking, but just walking out. And when they walk out, it's just like, well, why don't you say thank you because I'm paying for the stuff you just ripped off. I'm the one that's being charged. You're the one that's being charged. And it's lawlessness. It's crazy. A candidate was speaking and was attacked with a hand weapon and just took him in and released him later that afternoon. We're living in a time of bizarre craziness. And you can resist God all you want. But in the end, God's truth prevails. In the end, every person stands before the one who died for our sins. People are deceived. School systems are pushing evil on our children. Political systems, all kinds of ungodly policies and practices are being pushed forward. and they're fighting against God. Oh, they take down the Ten Commandments as though that then alleviates them from any responsibility that the commands call us to. And the reaction is against God by their blindness. I was looking at some illustration I wanted to use today. I was interested, curious. Queen Elizabeth, she was actually crowned queen in 1952. She was only 25 years old. She's still queen. She's in her 90s now. But here's the interesting point. She has not made, in all these years, she's not made one decision that has affected the nation. She has no power. That is all done by the prime minister and the parliament. The queen is queen in name only. She signs things into law, but they've already been put into law, so she has no authority. Let me bring the illustration as we come to a close here. Do we treat Jesus' kingdom like that? Like there's a big ceremony. I came forward or I was baptized, but I've never allowed the Lord authority over my life. I make all the decisions. Oh, I call him Lord. Oh, I call him King. I call him Master. But he has never made any decisions for me in my life. He doesn't rule my home. He doesn't rule my marriage, my mouth, my thoughts, my anger, my desires. I want my entire life to be subjected to him. He needs to rule every part of our life, bringing everything into captivity. You see, verse 18, the nations were angry, for your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, should destroy those who destroy the earth. There is a coming judgment, but this is where Christians get confused. So as a Christian, we will never come under the judgment of condemnation by God. That condemnation, that judgment was put on Christ. We receive Christ. So what we look forward to is the rewards. He's judging us. He's looking at our life. Salvation is not a reward. It's a gift. So we've been saved by faith. That's a gift. So I have the gift of salvation. I'm saved. But God holds us accountable for what we did since we were saved. In what way did our surrendered life with his lordship in us, did we serve him in a way that brought him glory and honored him? He will recognize that. But for those who have resisted Christ, they will face the white throne judgment spoken about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. We're living in crazy days. You hear about the ACLU and organizations like that. Well, to me, the ACLU is not American, it's not civil, it's not for liberty, and there's no unity in it. It's a contradiction of its name, because if there was any sense of God's presence or his existence, it would be removed by them, because we will not have the Lord rule over us. The battle is on, my friends, like never before, and you're quite aware of it. In the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel, when you know this all kind of began, they were building a society where God was excluded. They built a city and a tower. The city was a political structure to deny God to rule over them. And the tower was a religious structure. They built their own religious system to find God in the heavens. Some said they built the tower because if God judged again by the flood, perhaps the tower would keep them from being swept away in the flood, if only they realized God said he would never flood the world again, destroy the world again with a flood. Nebuchadnezzar was wanting to be the greatest king that ever lived. When a vision was given to him of his kingdom that would be destroyed, he couldn't believe it, and he didn't want to accept it. So he decided to make a golden image of himself and require people to bow down and worship it. And if they didn't worship it, they would be killed. Just like today. Our government says, if you don't go our way, if you don't take what we want to give you, if you don't do what we've said that you need to do because we have an executive order, then we're going to make your life miserable. And we're going to do things that would end up basically destroying your life. God has watched throughout human history the nature of mankind, and he set up his own kingdom. He defies the Lord. He rules his own life. Any suggestions to do differently would bring hostility against God. Haman was the same way. He wanted to be honored. He wanted to be worshipped. Except there's one man named Mordecai and says, there's no way. I'm not bowing down to you and I'm not worshiping you at all. And so he decided to try to kill Mordecai. Even Jesus, at his trial, they spit on him and they said, we will not have this man rule over us. A couple of quick quotations and a final comment. G.K. Chesterton said, if men will not be governed by the Ten Commandments, they shall be governed by 10,000 commandments. I like God's way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others the way that he's loved us. William Penn said, men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. That's what's happening. You don't want to be governed by God. You don't want his rule in the marketplace. This is what happens. Proverbs 28:15 summarized it, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. And finally, in verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings and noises and thunders and earthquakes and great hail. I have a couple of closing thoughts. The worship team is going to come up at this time. If you'd go ahead and stand, but as you're standing, even those in the back in the lobby, as you stand, just if you would listen to these closing comments and worship with us before we conclude. So we're not finished yet with the service. We just have a couple of things to say. Which kingdom are you and I a part of? Truly, who is the king? Who's really reigning and ruling in your life? It's the one that you give the most time and your attention and your devotion to. There's going to come a time where Christ is coming back and we're coming back with him. We're living in this day. We can very easily be the last disciples on earth before Christ returns. It could very well be. Father in heaven, I do pray for us here today, myself included. I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts, that we would be rejoicing and giving you thanks, that we would think about things that bring you delight and represent the fact that you are the Lord of our life, that you are leading us. You're helping us to make difficult decisions. We're making decisions that honor you, and you are the primarily the most important person in our life. For those that are listening and you've yet to make a commitment to Christ, it's very clear. There's two eternal destinies, and those destinations are determined here on earth. So if you were to die tonight, would you spend eternity with Jesus in heaven with all those who have trusted Jesus that you know? You say, well, I hope so. That's not good enough. You say, well, I've worked good enough works. That's not the right answer. The right answer is this. Jesus, you love me, and you died for me. You died on the cross for my sins. You were buried. You rose again from the dead. You are alive. You're at the right hand of the Father. And here I am humbly saying, forgive me of my sins. I accept this free gift of eternal life. I love you, Jesus. And maybe you've made that commitment a while back, but your walk is not one where you know the Lord would want it to be. Don't let Jesus just be Lord in name only. Surrender again and again and allow his lordship to rule and reign right now in Jesus' name. Amen.